I have 24 pages on a subject that I'm not going to use today because I was told by my boss, don't scare the people out. They have to get used to church again. So, but today I'm going to touch briefly on the element of rejection and abandonment. As I said, this is the introduction. As I read through this week, what's the title for today, preacher? The title is very simple. You are accepted. What does it got to do with rejection? Rejection is one of the most painful experiences known to mankind. One time a preacher asked to a group of kids, what you guys think rejection is? Most of the kids gave some reasonable answer. But one of the children said, rejection is when Shirley won't play with me and I have to play with my brother. It sounds cute, but you know, the basis of rejection is real. And when you are chosen over someone else, for whatever reason that may be, it could cause hurt that will last throughout a lifetime. Why do you say this, preacher? Because unconditional love and acceptance is one of the most basic needs of all humanity. Did you ever notice children when they are around us, especially if they're family members? From the earliest childhood, you can see children striving for acceptance and approval. Y'all didn't hear what I said. Perhaps you didn't even know that this was a strive for acceptance. What do you mean? Many times we see children striving for acceptance and approval of people that are significant in their lives. Here's some examples. How many times have you heard a child ask, Daddy, did you like the way I play? Or did I play well? Have you ever heard that? Yeah. Or maybe the little girl asking, Mom, did you like my picture? How many times we have children that during the sermon time, they are sitting down and drawing things, and then they come and give it to you, and you look, and they are, well. And you still, oh, okay. Did you like it? Oh, yes, yes. Some will go even for, is it beautiful? Oh, it's gorgeous. Now, you know, you're lying. But yet, the need for acceptance is a fundamental and yet basic need that every human being has from the time that we come into this world. One of the greatest problems that we find is that during those years when we're supposed to be affirming and teaching children about acceptance, unfortunately, in many cases, those were the years where their spirit were crushed. Crushed by negative words. Crushed by mean behavior and answers and attitudes. The social system in which most of us were raised gave us the impression that if we appeared good, if we performed well in life, or if we had a certain amount of social status, we would finally be somebody. Can I have an amen here? But try as we might to gain approval, we will always come up short. Whatever pinnacle of self-identity we are able to achieve, eventually it will crumble under the pressure of rejection or under the pressure of criticism and even self-condemnation. Are we still together? Many people go throughout life, suffering from rejection and abandonment, not knowing that we cannot do anything to qualify for unconditional and voluntary love. Are you all with me? There is this millionaire man that find this gorgeous thing that he decided to take for wife, and he gives her everything that she asked. And even then, she will complain about something one day. So what you're saying, preacher? We live and we labor under the false assumption that if we live perfectly, everybody will accept us, everybody will love us. And that's not realistic. Why do you say that? There was one who lived among us. His life was perfect. He knew no sin. And you know what? The Bible says that he was rejected. May I have Isaiah chapter 55 rather, verse 2. I said in the beginning that acceptance is a basic fundamental need for humankind. But unfortunately, we grew up under that assumption. If you have some social status, if you do everything perfect, if you do all well, if you succeed in life, people will accept and love you. Baloney. Isaiah 53, I'm sorry. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. Watch this. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire from him. Now, let me tell you this, folks. We are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Nothing can and would ever come close to him. And yet, in the eyes of humans, there was no beauty that we should desire from him. I don't know if you are getting what I'm trying to say here. You say, well, that's what the Bible says. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. I'm trying to show you something that you may have never seen. We know that Jesus Christ is the most handsome, the most beautiful being ever created, because he is the effulgence, the image of God. Amen. Nothing ever trailed planet Earth as gorgeous, as beautiful, as handsome as Jesus Christ is. And yet humans place their eyes on him And there was no beauty that humans should desire. I want you to stick with me here. So why when people saw Jesus, they saw no beauty that they should desire? Because man in its natural stage is always on the flesh. And the flesh is enmity against the things of God. So you can try to be as perfect as you can. You can try to do better as you can. You can be billionaire. That is not a guarantee that you will have unconditional love, affection, and acceptance. If they saw the master like this, who of us humans? Listen to verse 3. He is despised and let's stop right here. The Son of the Living God, the most beautiful being that ever trailed planet Earth, was rejected. What can I take from here? It's part of being on planet Earth. So if you've been rejected, don't get bent out of shape. Does it hurt? Yes, it does. But as I'm going to be teaching the following week, there is a time for grief from rejection. There are different types of rejection. A spouse committed adultery and took off and divorced. That's rejection right there. So what are you going to do? You're going to kill yourself? What are you going to do? You're going to live heads down all the time. My wife left me. My husband left me. Get over. They rejected the Prince of Priests. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
You may say, that is harsh. No, sweetheart, this is reality. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. And we did not esteem him. Somebody said, preacher, there's a paradox here. You say that he's the most beautiful and all this, but the Bible is saying the opposite of it. Well, if you have not understood yet, may I have verse 4? Surely, he has borne our griefs and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. The problem with rejection and abandonment is that we forgot to take the steps to move out of rejection land, to move out of abandonment mode. And the longer we dwell on that mode, the most miserable life will become. Well, you don't know. You don't know what abandonment. Yes, I do. When my mom got pregnant, my real father would stop home only one night, and he was so drunk that the neighbors had to drag him in. And he slept for 20 hours, woke up and went back to work. So mom said, well, it's 3 weeks, time to get a boy's birth certificate. He looks and said, he doesn't need a certificate to know that I am his father. And then he took off, never to be seen again. That's rejection, full dose. But you know what? There's a way out of rejection. And then my mother got hooked up with the fellow that she lived all her life. And that fellow says, you SOB, come here. That was a compliment. And then he smacked me on my face. What am I trying to say here? Oh, you're really tough. No, I'm not. I might be the most fragile among all of you. But you know what? He has borne our griefs. And He has carried our sorrow. So you don't have to be on the pity of rejection and abandonment. It does not matter how perfect we may try to be. It doesn't matter how much social status we might try to have. That does not grant any one of us. Does not give us the guarantee of unconditional and voluntary love. Because He, the most beautiful creature to walk through planet Earth, was rejected. Time and over again, I meet mature adults who still struggle for the approval of their parents, for the approval of others in the family. The downside of it is, ultimately, many of these folks will compromise their spiritual integrity to avoid the rejection of men. Is anybody listening to me here? The majority of church in town on the great metro is a mess. You have leaders that are having affairs with people in the congregation. I don't want to go into detail, but many of you know what I'm talking about. The sad part is the church knows of it and nobody does anything. And I often ask, why? Are these people sleeping? No, the fear of rejection. Why? Because the majority of them has already been rejected. When they were born, daddy was in jail serving time. And they grew up with only one parent. So it's already rejection right there and then. Then they come to church to find some kind of comfort and encouragement. And then when the mess is in there, they don't want to be rejected again. In the medical field, there are two terms that I don't think you're familiar with. One of them is called abandon phobia. The other one is called abandonholism. What is the meaning of this? Abandon phobia is the fear of being rejected time and over again. And as a result of this, people will even compromise their spiritual life and take garbage just for the fear of being abandoned again. Now, this is abandon phobia. Abandonholism is the other way. For the fear of being abandoned, people will work themselves to death to try to get approval and not be abandoned. Either one of them is contagious, is deadly. And sadly enough, there are thousands, if not millions, of adults that will compromise their spiritual integrity to avoid the rejection of man. Many mature adults who still struggle for the approval of their parents or the approval of others, their siblings. Sad yet is that many of us came from a Christian family where there was a lot of bickering, a lot of hostility between parents or between family members, which led us to have an average childhood pretty much messed up. Many of us, at times, we displeased whatever parent we had home. And it caused a war to come up. I was downtown Baltimore one time, and this little young boy was trying to help his mother. She was in a bad mood, and she said, "I don't need your help. Get out of my way." But he went back, trying to help mommy to carry the groceries. And unfortunately, one of the cantaloupes fell on the floor. The mother burst out and raged, "You're just like your father! Useless! Can never do something wrong!" Things like this will crush the spirit of a child in development. But you know, there is a way out of this. Unfortunately, some of these children are still today, as an adult, fighting subconsciously, trying to earn mom's approval. And many times it results in arguments. So how can you get away from this, preacher? The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. There is an invitation for anyone who has ever suffered from this kind of problem. Anyone that will be willing to be unconditionally loved. Listen to this. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." The best way to fight rejection and abandonment is opening the doors of our heart so that the Lord Jesus Christ may come in and fill the void and the need for affirmation that each one of us have. You know, you really have to have gone through this to understand. On the day, the first time I heard that some guy out there called Jesus, that they say is the Son of God, love this man here, I couldn't barely take this. Are you serious? Are you sure? Yes! And you want a proof? Yes. Then the scriptures were shown to me where sinners will go to hell. But because of what that man Jesus did, he offered his own life so that my life didn't have to go to hell. He even took a trip to hell to make sure that my name was erased from hell's book. I couldn't get more excited about this. And I jumped on a bandwagon. And you know what? It was 41 years ago. The rest is history. My mother went bananas. When I was kicked out of the house, she said, "You see, there's no place for Christians in this house. It's a Jewish home. So you have to give up this Christian thing." I said, "I can't do that." "What do you mean you can't do that? You're Jewish." "I gave my heart to Jesus. I don't know if he's going to give it back to me." And I meant it. I meant it. But you know what? It was that love at first touch. We humans have love at first sight. But between us and God is love at first touch. It was that love at first touch. I felt embraced for a supernatural embrace. It's just like somebody had given me a bath and I felt as clean as it could possibly be. I didn't want to lose that or give that up. The best way to fight rejection and abandonment is opening the doors of our hearts when the Lord calls upon us and allowing Him to come in. I love this scripture for three reasons. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." It doesn't say that it's the door at the door of the Christian's home. Christian's heart. Does it say?
No.
Anybody. You mean that he will talk to me if I'm not a Christian? Yes. He's standing at the door and knocking. If we are bold enough to open the door when we hear His voice. Do you mean that we really can hear the voice of God? Yes. Some of us hear in a different way. Some of us will hear in a loud manner. Some of us will have that little voice speaking inside of our head with such a powerful conviction that you can't deny. But Jesus will not pass by any one of us. He's knocking at the door. And if we have guts to open the door, here comes the beauty. And let Him in. He wants to dine with us. I don't know your culture, but in Jewish culture, dinner is almost like a sacred thing. We look forward to everybody sitting on the table. And we eat good food. And it's a time of happiness. It's a time of fellowship. You know what I mean? Amen. While we are chewing, no children are supposed to talk. But once we finish eating, we have dessert, then we're going to have that kind of confraternization, that joy. And we talk. And we laugh. And we find out about each other's day. That's the context here. Jesus wants to come into your heart. Amen. Dine with you. Find out how was your day. Amen. Find out what was bothering you through the day. Give a healing touch. Cause you to laugh. In other words, He will do His part and He wants you to do yours. He said, I will come into Him and dine with Him and He with me. He's expecting a response from us. We don't have to suffer from rejection or abandonment. Open the door of the heart and Jesus will come right in. And know you what? Change things around. Folks, as people of the book, as children of the living God, we have no reason to be bent out of shape, miserable, sad. God is expecting that we will open the door of our hearts and consciously choose this precious relationship. And once we do that, you should remember that Satan will attack us on those most vulnerable areas, like the need of total acceptance. So what do? We should not listen to negative thoughts against ourselves. Many of us does not realize that Satan can cause our past experiences to have an influence in our thoughts, in our minds, and condemn us and lead us into defeat. But you know what? I want you to remember something very important today. If you forget everything that I told you, I want you to remember this. You are no longer, once you open the door of your heart, allow Jesus to come in and have fun with you. You are no longer a product of your past. You are a product of the work of Christ on the cross. Get to know who you are in Christ Jesus. And always remember yourself that your acceptance into the kingdom of God as a child of God has happened on the basis of what Jesus did for you, not what the man did for you. Let me show you something here that is a powerful scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting on verse 17, there is this baffling scriptures that, oh my Lord, it moves my heart. Listen to this. Therefore, while you were out there on your own, you had dealt and suffered from rejection and abandonment. Your parents may have dumped you for your grandmother, your grandfather to take care of you. Maybe your daddy is not on the picture, was never on the picture. Maybe your mom was never on the picture. Let me tell you this. On the moment that you made a decision to Christ, the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, what happened? It's a new creation. So what are you trying to say? The abandonment stuff has to go. There's going to be a change taking place on your status. Because now you're no longer on your own. You are in Christ Jesus. So you have a rather friendly dad. And the best dad that you could ever desire in your life. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Amen. The rejection, the absence of mom, or the absence of dad, or the absence of siblings have passed away. Amen. Why? Because now you have this whole bunch of siblings in here. Amen. When I told you that I missed you, I did. I wasn't trying to be nice. I did miss you. I did miss you guys. You know, you are my siblings. So rejection has no chance with me because the rejection time is passed away. Behold, I have new siblings. Behold, all things have become new. Are we together so far?
Yes.
Now listen to verse 18. Now, all things are of God. Say, all things are of God. Why is that important? Before you knew Christ, you thought that you were of your mother and your father. And if one of them were not on the picture, then you were rejected, right? Now you came to Christ, all things are of God, which means you are of God. Amen. What about my dad? You can't get a better dad than God. Amen. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? He wants you to go out there and get as many rejected people, as many as abandoned people as you can find. Bring them in. Let's have that big family. Listen to verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not, listen to this, imputing their trespasses to them. When you are there on your own, trying to get acceptance. Trying to get rid of the feeling of rejection. By working your butt off. You wake up one day to the fact that that ain't enough. You know, criticism, harsh words, and sometimes self-condemnation will kick in and make life miserable. Whatever bad feeling there may be, you know, one of the things that I heard it for the first 15 years of my life, every day, you are so stupid, you useless, good for nothing, why don't you just die? All that stuff has not been put on me,
amen,
nor on my children.
Amen.
Because God in Christ Jesus was reconciling things. I used to hate God. If there is a God, I hate you. If this is life, I want to die. But when I met the man of Galilee, the most beautiful one, the Prince of Princes, huh? Prince of Princes, the King of Kings, all that garbage that I thought before, that I spoke before, and the things that were done before, God did not input on us. But God committed Himself to reconcile me with Him. Amen. And this is why nothing can separate us from the love of God. The commitment for reconciliation is not on us, it's on Him. And this is why it says, even when I'm faithful, He will remain faithful because He has committed to restore relationships. Amen. Here's the beauty, verse 20. Watch this. Next verse, please. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You don't have to stay out there sad. You don't have to be hiding. You know, abandon phobia will cause people to isolate themselves. I don't want to talk about this today. It's going to take me some time, but I'll just say this. Abandon phobia causes people to seclude themselves. People who suffer from abandon phobia, they'll buy a house all the way out there in the woods. Most of the time they will live alone. They'll have a dog and a cat, an old pickup truck. And there's going to be a sign at the entrance of their property. No trespasses. That's what psychology is saying today. This past week I read 5 psychology compendium. And this is what they do. But you know what? God is pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Come on board. Be reconciled to God. It's not God who abandoned you. Maybe it was your children, your spouse, your parents. But God says, come on, baby. Come on, I'm waiting for you to come. Verse 21 to finalize this session. Watch this. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sins for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Our acceptance before God is not based on man's work. Our work or anybody else's work. Our acceptance into God's kingdom, into Christ's bosom, is based on the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary Cross. And this is why it's so imperative that we would open our hearts and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and make our heart His home. Are you with me here? Yes. You know, when I think about this abandonment story, this nonsense, there are a few positive things about this abandonment story in my life. Like what? Number one, I made a vow that none of my children would grow with a stepfather. And I kept my vow. With the help of God. It also gave me a drive, just for pure fun, to show my stepfather how mistaken he was. Why would you do that? Because once I got my hands on that Bible, I read one verse that says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. So when I came to Jesus, there is no higher enough mountain Don't keep me down there. Now, don't let the devil take the weapon of rejection and abandonment and use it as a defeating tool to your life. You are in Christ Jesus. And because you are in Christ Jesus, there is a new day. There's a new relationship. Whatever you've been told on the past by your parents, by family members and friends, that is all gone. It's water under the bridge. It is a new day. Whatever they said you couldn't, you can. One day, the Air Force had some exercise, and our home was like 6 kilometers away from the Air Force base. That's about 3.5 miles, 4 miles. So I saw a French-made jet fighter called Mirage flying over, and I'm, wow! And then comes another one, and then comes another one. And they start doing, you know, their stuff, dogfight and whatnot. And I was like this for about, I don't know, an hour. And then my sister bought me a empty kerosene can, like a 6 gallon made of aluminum. And she flipped it upside down. Sit down. Thank you, hon. And I'm watching. My father's watching from far off. So finally, he comes in. Don't you get tired looking up this, at this? I said, no. One day I'm going to fly one of them. You? And then he walked away. Well, 1993, he was still alive. We came to the United States. And I jump into a Cessna 182. Contrary to popular way of doing when you're going to learn to fly, you start on a Cessna 152, then you move to 172, and then you go to 182. I start on 182. Finally, when the relationship was again established, I told mother, tell dad, I am flying right now. Because I can do all things to Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. There is no words. There is no situation. There is no abandonment. There is no rejection that will prevent God's best to happen in your life when you understand that you can do all things in Christ Jesus. I'm getting fired up. Folks, understanding and receiving God's unconditional love is foundational for all our future growth. We don't have to do things to God, and maybe someday God will accept us. Did you hear what I said? We are accepted by God completely as we are, despite of our race, nationality, or skin color. Our actions and works should be in response to God's love for us, not an attempt to earn His favor and His love. So what you're saying, preacher? Finding our acceptance in Christ serves as basis for our relationship, not only with God, as well as with other people. What do you mean? The book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 7, the Apostle Paul wrote something like this. Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Would you care to read it with me? Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. What does it got to do with rejection and abandonment? When you come to Christ, you are received by God through Christ Jesus. Isn't that what it says? Just as Christ has also received us. Now, when we understand and accept God's unconditional love and forgiveness, it will be the foundation upon which we can build towards one another. Therefore, receive one another. When the truth about who we are in Christ Jesus sits in, guess what? You will have no problem sitting down in a church with blacks, whites, yellows, purples, greens, whatever colors are there. You have no problem because they also have been received in Christ. Are you with me here? And this is the basis of relationship. It's foundational. And this is why I would jump on your neck. I'm French. This church should be more a black church. You're in the wrong place. Get out. I think we should be more like towards the white church. Get out. Amen. My Bible says there is only one God. Right. Is that right?
Yep.
One Savior.
Yep.
One Lord.
Yes.
One faith.
Yes.
One body.
Yes.
Plain and simple.
Yes.
And you know what? If you can't live with somebody of different color, you're in bad shape because they're going to be in heaven. If you're miserable down here to be with them, then you're going to have an eternity of misery because God died for them too. Understanding and accepting God's unconditional love and forgiveness is the basis of our relationship with other people. It serves as basis for our relationship with other people as well. Our need for acceptance and belonging are legitimate needs, and they are God-given needs. Did you hear that? But if we attempt to meet them independent of God, we are doomed. And we will reap the satisfaction that the self-life brings. The Apostle Peter put it in a different way when he says in 1 Peter 2:15, he put it in a different way. Watch this. 1 Peter 2:15. Oh boy. 5 minutes. All right. For this is the will of God. But by doing good, you may put silence the ignorance of foolish men. No. I've got the wrong scripture. I think, try 2 Peter 2:15, brothers. I was so excited when I was doing this that I may have taken note of the wrong note, the wrong scripture. I gotta look for this. The scripture says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Amen.
As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God, and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Huh? It's 2-2? Okay, 1 Peter 2-2. How in the world did I get that? I got excited. Sometime I get excited and I... 1 Peter 2-2, brothers, let me have that. As newborn babies. But you know what? Can you put verse 1 in there? So I can prove my point. Therefore, there you go. Laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. Let me call your attention for a few things here. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking all have to do with emotions. Did you notice that? All of it has to do with emotions. He's saying, put that stuff away. Watch this. Brothers, can you put the Message Bible on this? So, clean house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy, and hurtful talk. All this has to do with the emotions. Verse 2. As newborn babies desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Are we together so far? Give one more verse, brothers. 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So what are you trying to say, preacher? Let me try to wrap up this thing here. Malice is wicked behavior that is often born out of our own sense of inadequacy. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Malice is a wicked behavior that is born out of our own sense of inadequacy. What that means, when we look to others who have something we desperately need in order to be fulfilled. So when that doesn't happen, malice comes to light. Peer pressure is so powerful, and the pursuit of men's approval so prevalent, that people will compromise even their most basic moral principles to gain acceptance to others. When they lack that acceptance factor, they begin to scheme and manipulate people or present a false image about themselves to gain approval. When this all fails, they envy those who seem to have what they don't have. And then the natural consequences come. They will start slandering people to bring them down to their own level. Folks, this is how a strong and devious desire, inner craving for significance apart from Christ can get. So, what's the bottom line, preacher? When you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you no longer feel or need to be threatened by people, or you don't need to compete with them no more, because you are already secured and loved in Christ Jesus. According to Peter, we as Christians supposed to be like newborn babies who knows nothing about guile, hypocrisy, or envy. Is that right?
Amen.
Do you know any newborn baby that is good on hypocrisy and envy and guile? Folks, in reality, we are like babies. We are newborn in Christ and we are to long for the pure milk of the Word. Because it is in the Word that you and I will discover our true acceptance, our true identity. And you know, rejection is part of life. We will sometimes experience rejection of men. But you know what? We will never be cast away by our Heavenly Father. He has promised that He will never leave us, nor forsake us. Let me encourage you this morning, as a Bible-believing newborn baby in Christ. I'm no longer a baby, I'm mature. Great. As a mature Christian in Christ, to long for the milk of the Word of God, that by the Word of God we may grow in respect to our salvation, so that we can taste the kindness, the love, and the acceptance of the Lord. Abandonment doesn't have to be your enemy. You can actually use it for good. You know, did I ever dream to have a father? Yes. Did I ever wanted to know my father? Yes. One time, in one of these trips to heaven, while I was there, I asked Jesus, "Why can't you show me my father?" The Lord said, looked to me in a serious face, somewhat sad, and the Lord asked, "Am I not better to you than 1,000 fathers?" I was caught by surprise. That was 10 years ago.
Amen.
I've got the best dad that I can think about. And one good thing about my rich dad called Jesus, he spoils me all the time. I have never been despised by Him. I have never been cast out by Him. He did not abandon me and went out to get drunk and disappear out in the night. He is over there, out there all the time, wherever we go. Maybe you've been abandoned by your parents, by your father, by your mother, by your spouse. It's time to get on with life. You've got the best dad that you could ever dream about. I can tell you for sure, my dad wouldn't buy me a brand new car, luxury car, and let me ride and pay for it. Are you with me here?
Amen.
My heavenly daddy did. I doubt my dad would buy me an airplane. My heavenly father did. I doubt my daddy would have given me 100+ siblings. Like this, my Heavenly Father did.
Amen.
Let's get out of the pity party.
Yes.
Let's put aside the feeling of rejection and abandonment.
Amen.
Let us remember, you've got a real deal dad.
Amen.
That is nuts about you. That cares you about you a truckload. A lot. You have a dad that knows the plans he has for you.
Amen.
It's planned for good, not for evil. You, dad, says that you have a future and you have a hope.
Yes.
Let us not remain on that old life. If there is anybody here that has never made a profession of faith, it's time for you to come to meet your real dad. Would you like to receive Jesus as your personal Savior and join the family? Yes. You'll become our youngest sibling. If there's anybody here, anybody who has never invited Jesus to be their personal Lord, Savior, big brother, today's the day. Is there anybody here? I would like to ask you to repeat this prayer with me. My Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open my eyes so I may understand and accept your unconditional love and acceptance. I renounce all the lies of the devil that questions your love and insist that I must earn your love and approval. I choose to believe that I am accepted in Christ. I choose to believe that your grace will sustain me as I may face rejection of mankind. I choose to believe that you will enable me against peer pressure that attempts to compromise me. I choose to believe that you are the best dad I could ever have. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.